And if you got your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Ephesians. A book of Ephesians, and we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to begin our study by reading verses 14 through 19. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 19. And when you have it, please let me know by saying amen. 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 Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. This is what the word of God says this morning. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And we're going to end our reading right there. This morning, we're going to finish up our series on the love of God. As you all know, for the past month, we've been considering and talking and looking at the love of God. And this morning, we're going to finish up our series with one final study. The book of Ephesians is a very unique book in many ways. And one of the reasons why is that it contains three pastoral prayers in chapter 1 and in chapter 3. The Apostle Paul, he was imprisoned in Rome, and as he was in prison there in Rome, he was praying for the church in Ephesus. Paul was interceding for the believers. How important it is to intercede for others. Amen. We got to always keep each other in prayer. The family, the children, loved ones. People need prayer. And prayer changes things. Prayer not only changes things, but prayer changes people. Amen. And so Paul was there in prison in Rome, writing this letter, and he was praying for the church, praying for the Ephesians. And towards the end of his second prayer, Paul was praying that the believers would be enabled to come to a deeper comprehension, of the love of Jesus Christ. He was praying that they would be able to comprehend the width, length, depth, and height of the love of Jesus. That they would know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge. That the church would understand that really which they could not understand. That they would comprehend that which is incomprehensible, the love of Jesus Christ. Listen to this, family. This morning, the love of Jesus Christ for you and me is beyond understanding. It's beyond comprehension. It's so amazing. That's the love of Jesus Christ. Any love you've ever experienced shrinks in comparison to the love of Jesus Christ for us this morning. How many could say amen, amen to that? The love of Jesus is so amazing. And really, so Paul was praying that this church would understand the love of Christ. But it's ironic because he says it's impossible to understand the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I want us to consider, I want us to try to comprehend, even though we're not going to be able to, but we're going to try to comprehend and understand the love that Jesus has for us, his people, as it was demonstrated at the cross. And this is what we're going to do. If you can look with me in verse 18, we're going to focus our attention on the four parameters that Paul mentions in verse 18. Notice how Paul uses the four parameters of the width, the length, the depth, and the height. And so in our consideration of the love of Christ, we're going to focus on those four parameters. Now, before we begin, I want to say this, that I personally believe that by using these parameters, the width, the length, the depth, and height, I believe that Paul was really setting for us the parameters of the cross. Really, it's impossible for me to read these four words and not think of the four points of the cross. Not think of the width, the length, and the height, and the depth of the cross of Christ. And so really, this morning, we're going to look at the love of Christ that was really demonstrated at the cross. That's going to be our focus this morning. We're going to consider the width, the length, the depth, and the height of the love of Jesus Christ that was demonstrated at the cross of Calvary. Amen. Amen. So we're going to just chop it up. We're going to be looking at this verse, and we're going to try to understand and comprehend that which we cannot understand or comprehend, the amazing love of Jesus Christ. And so let's begin, verse 18. And if you're taking notes, this is the first thing we're going to look at. Let us consider the width of the love of Christ, the width of the love of Christ. Paul says in verse 18, he says, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width of the love of Christ. And let me just say this, the love of Christ at the cross is so wide that it reaches out to the four corners of the earth. It's so wide, it's so broad, that it reaches out to all corners of the earth. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Amen? And so because of that, he's not limited to any race or nationality. He's not limited to one place or region. He's not limited to one gender or one people group. But Christ's love is so wide, so broad, that when he hung upon the cross and his arms were stretched out wide, it was as if Jesus Christ was putting his arms around the entire world of sinners of whom he came to die for. As Jesus was hanging on the cross and his arms were stretched out, it was as if he was hugging a world of sinners in need of a Savior. Amen? That's how wide, that's how broad, that's how great the love of Jesus Christ is. And that's really what Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 16. He really begins to share with us how wide and how broad the love of Christ is. That Jesus was really wrapping his arms around a world of sinners at the cross. And really in these verses, there in chapter 2, verses 11 and 16, Paul tells us that through his death, Jesus, he put his arms around Jew, and he put his arm around the Gentiles, and he brought these two groups into one body of believers. That in Christ there is no longer Jew or Gentile, but there's one new man. And we're all part of the same body, the church, in Jesus Christ. And Paul would even continue there in verses 11 through 16 and in chapter 2, by telling us that we Gentiles, now what's a Gentile? A Gentile is simply someone who was not a Jew, that before Christ, Paul tells us that we were lost. We were without hope. We were without God. We were without the scriptures. We were without the covenant of promises. We were doomed without Christ. But then Paul tells us through Christ, now because of what he did at the cross, we've been brought near through the blood. And we've been allowed to enter into the body or the family of God. And that's the width, that's the breadth of the love of Jesus Christ, that it goes out across the world to the ends of the earth. And it reaches out to every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. That's the width of the blood, of the love of Jesus Christ. Really, there's no love that can compare to the magnitude of the width of Jesus Christ's love. Amen? Amen. Isn't that so beautiful that in Christ, his love is available to all, not simply one gender or one group or one race or one nationality, but literally in the book of Revelation, in chapter 5, verse 8, John tells us that in heaven, the saints sing this song. He says, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and you have redeemed us to God by your blood." And look at what he says, "out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation." Amen. Isn't that as beautiful? That's amazing. That's the love of Christ, that his love reaches to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And there will be no place that a missionary will go or that the gospel will be preached, but that the love of Christ is already there. You know, in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, we read the Great Commission. And the Lord really tells his disciples, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth." And then he tells them, "Go and make disciples of all the nations." Go out and share the gospel, make disciples, share me with others. But isn't it amazing to know that even before they go, or even before we go, the love of Christ is already there. The love of Christ for the nations. The love of Christ for every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. It's already there because it's so wide. That's the width, that's the breadth of the love of Jesus Christ, that no sinner is beyond the reach of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How many could say amen to that? That's the width of the love of Christ. You know, I can just picture Jesus hanging on the cross, his arms stretched out, and he's telling you and me, "This is how much I love you." That's the width, that he just is ready to wrap you in his arms. That's the love of Jesus. Let's look at the second parameter, the second thing we want to look at, and it's the length of the love of Christ. In verse 18, Paul continues by saying that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length. Length. And so the second thing we want to look at is the length of Christ. And I would just say this, the love of Christ at the cross is so long that it stretches back to eternity past and it reaches forward all the way to eternity future. There is no love any longer, or there is no love that stretches with any greater length than the love of Jesus Christ at the cross. Jesus's love spans the eternities. That it's rooted in eternity past, and it's going to continue throughout all the ages to come. If you can, read with me Ephesians 1, verse 4, and look at what Paul says. Ephesians 1 verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's an amazing verse because that's teaching us that God has chosen us as believers in Christ and in love before the foundation of the world. In eternity past, God had already chosen us. He had already thought about us, and he was already making plans how he was going to redeem and save us before the foundations of the world. Now, don't notice in verse 4, though, Paul tells us that God chose us to be holy and blameless before love. You know what that's teaching us? That's teaching us that God didn't merely choose us for heaven, but God chose us for holiness. And those who are going to heaven are distinguished by purity and holiness. God has called us and chosen us to be holy and blameless before him. Man, that's a high calling. Amen. That's the highest calling. God says, be holy for I am holy. But Paul tells us that in Christ and in love, before the foundation of the world, God chose us. You know, as I think about that, I say to myself, I can't understand why God chose me. Why would God choose me? Why would God have me upon his heart? Think about me before the foundation of the world. I don't know. But that just shows and teaches me the great length of the love of Jesus Christ. That it goes back to eternity past. But it also extends all the way to eternity future. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 4 through 7, Paul says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. How many can say amen to that? And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And this is what we want to focus on, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Just think what Paul is saying. He first told us that God chose us in eternity past in love and in Christ. And then he tells us that throughout all the ages, in eternity future, God is going to be pouring out his grace, love, and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus, our love, our Lord. That for all of eternity, God is going to just pour out his blessings upon our life because of Christ, because of what Christ did, because we are in Christ. We will be the object of God's love for all of eternity. In that for the ages to come in heaven, in the New Jerusalem, that we're going to be the object of God's love. That God is going to be displaying his love before all towards us. That there's going to be the angels and whatnot, the foreign living creatures, the seraphim, the cherubim. But we're going to be the object of his special love. And before all the celestial beings, God is going to be displaying his love in us and for us because of Christ. To me, that's just amazing that there's no end to the love of Christ. You know, it's like what the psalmist says. You know, sometimes the psalmist is writing there in the book of Psalm, and it just gets so deep and so impactful that he uses the word Selah. And really what he's saying is just meditate on it. Stop, meditate, and think about what you just read. And so really, as I think about the eternity of being the object of God's love, all I could say is Selah. Meditate on that. That for all of eternity, you're going to be the object of God's love in Christ. That God's love will never be removed or be taken away. That it's never going to run out or dwindle, but it's going to remain strong and faithful for all of eternity in Jesus. Amen. Selah. Think about that. You know, what do we fear the most as humans? We fear having something taken away from us. Amen. Oh man, you take away the house, we're fearful. Our job is taken away. It's scary. A loved one is removed. It's the worst pain you might experience. And that's our fear of something being removed. Something being taken away. But the Bible promises us that God's love in Christ will never be taken away from us. That's the length of the love of Christ, that it stretches throughout all eternity. And it'll never be removed. It'll never be taken away from us. And that's why time after time after time, God says, don't be afraid. Do not fear. Don't be scared. I'm with you. My love will always be there for you. The love of Christ. The width and the length. That there's never going to be an end of the love of God for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. How many can say amen to that? Amen. That's a good word. Selah. Something to think about. Let's look at the third thing. The third thing we want to look at, these parameters of the love of Christ found in verse 18 of Ephesians 3, is we want to look at the depth of the love of Christ. Let us consider the depth of the love of Christ. Paul says that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, and depth. And so the third thing we want to look at is the depth of the love of Christ. And I just want to say this, that the love of Christ is so deep that it reaches down all the way to sinners. That's the depth of the love of Christ, that it reaches down all the way to where the sinners live and dwell. That Jesus Christ at the cross, he reached down into the gutters, into the graves to save us. You know that before Christ, before you were in Christ, you were filthy. You were in the gutters. And not only that, but you were dead, spiritually dead. Before Christ, before you gave your life to Christ, you were filthy, dead. You were in the gutters, in the grave. And yet Jesus, he reached down and got us. He reached down and rescued us. And that's the depth of the love of Christ. It's a love that just reaches down and swoops us up. Gets us out of that gutter. Gets us out of the grave. At the cross, Christ reached down to the grave of sin. And it was there he found us. He laid hold of us. And he raised us up. At the cross, Christ reached down all the way into this foul system of this world. And it was there he found us. And he just delivered us. And he transformed us. At the cross, Jesus reached down all the way to the kingdom of darkness. He invaded the kingdom of hell. He penetrated the kingdom of Satan. And it was there he found us and he rescued us. That's what Paul says in Colossians 1:13. He says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. And he's conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That's the depth of the love of Jesus Christ. You know, what a Savior we have in Christ, that he would reach down like that. You know, Jesus, when he came, he humbled himself. It was not something glorifying to come to this earth, but it was something humiliating. Jesus Christ, God Almighty, sitting on his throne, and he humbled himself to be born in a stable, in a barn, to live a humble life, to die a shameful death. That's the depths of the love of Christ. Think of it like this, and this is just a way to look at it. Jesus was high, exalted, Lord over all. And when he came, he literally took steps down and he humbled himself. And he came to our level to reach out, to rescue, to deliver us. And that's the depths of the love of Jesus Christ, that he would take steps down into the gutter and the grave to rescue us, to save us, to deliver us, and to clean us. That's the depths of the love of Jesus Christ. That's the depths that the Savior is willing to go. The gutter, the grave. That's where the Lord went, to the grave and gutter, to get you and to get me. And listen to this. There is no one who is so deep in sin that the love of Christ is not able to reach down to save them, free them, deliver them. I don't care what you've done or where you've been or how bad you feel. You're not too deep for the love of Christ. He can go so much more deeper. Amen. That's the depth of the love of Jesus Christ. Just for a moment, remember who wrote this epistle. Remember who wrote this book. Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul. Before Paul came to Christ, he was a persecutor of the church. Paul used to kill Christians. That's what he did before he came to Christ. He was a blasphemer, a persecutor, a murderer. And yet we read there in Acts chapter 9 that as he was making his way to Damascus, that Jesus Christ, the depths of his love, reached down to the gutter and grave, and Jesus saved Saul of Tarsus. Jesus saved this murderer and this killer and blasphemer, and Jesus delivered him out of the gutter and the grave. And there in Acts 9, Paul's conversion is simply a picture of every one of our conversions. That Jesus Christ would just go down to the gutter and the grave to rescue and save us. And that's the depths of the love of Christ. A love that is able to reach down and save the chief of sinners, like myself. You know, Paul would later say in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And even the Lord says, I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. You know, that's just so encouraging to me, to know the depths of the love of Christ. Because, you know, as a believer, I make mistakes. I fall short. I have a lot of shortcomings. But it's so comforting to know that I can never go too down or too deep that the Lord can't save me and rescue me and pull me out. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Because you do something, you make a mistake, and you feel so down. You know, and we even use that expression. How are you feeling? I'm feeling so down. I'm feeling so depressed. I'm feeling so discouraged. And that's really what sin does. Sin brings you down. It does. But it's so encouraging to know the depth of the love of Christ. And the Lord is literally telling us, when you feel down, don't worry, I'm going to go get you. You're not going to go too deep. You're not going to be too down for me not to be able to rescue you and deliver you and to raise you up and to restore you. And that's the depth of the love of Jesus Christ, that he's able to get us filthy, dead, and he's able to raise us up. The depth of the love of Jesus Christ. Listen to this, family. Nobody will do for you what Jesus has done for you.
Amen.
Nobody. Nobody. If you go out right now, you fall in a gutter, you roll around in a gutter, people will just drive by and laugh at you. They'll just point fingers and say, look at this fool. Look at this filthy person. But Jesus, he don't drive by, but he stops the car. He gets out of the car and he goes to you and he picks you up.
Amen.
He does so much more than that. He'll put you in his car. He'll put you in the back, though, because you don't need to drive. We let Jesus drive.
Amen.
But he'll take you and heal you, restore you, and save you. That's our Savior. That's my Savior. And it's so personal to me, because before I came to Christ, I was in the gutter. I wasted my life. I blew it straight up, like all of you. I blew it. But Jesus was like, man, you're not too far, Adam. You're not too down. I'm willing to go. And he went. When he went to the cross, that's the lowest you can get to, the cross. And Jesus was willing to descend to the depths of the cross in order to save us and rescue us and deliver us. And that's the depths of the love of Jesus Christ. How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
How many of you know what I'm talking about? Amen. Amen. I think a few of us, all of us. Amen. Let's look at the fourth parameter. We looked at the width, the length, the depth, and now we want to look at the height of the love of Christ. Paul says in verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height. So we want to look at the height of the love of Christ. And I would just say this, the love of Christ at the cross is so high that it's able to lift up and exalt a repentant sinner all the way to the throne of God. That's the height of the love of Christ. That through the cross, through Jesus, we have access to come all the way to the most holy place. We have access to come all the way to the very presence of God. That the cross allows us to be accepted by God, to have forgiveness by God, and to find salvation in God. That's the cross. That's the love of Christ, that we're able to enter the throne room of grace with boldness, knowing that we're accepted by God. The height of Jesus' love, it leads us and takes us to the throne. That's how high the love of Christ, that we who once were in a gutter, we were once in a grave, that Jesus comes and he lifts us up and he exalts us to the very throne of God. That's the love of Jesus. If you can, read with me again, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 6. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 6. And you notice all my references are in the book of Ephesians. Because throughout the book, Paul really teaches us what he means by the width and the length and the depth and the height of the love of Christ. Paul really uses other verses in the book to give us the interpretation of what he's talking about. And that just really shows us that the best interpretation of the Bible is the Bible. Amen. Amen. The best commentary of the Bible is the Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 6 says this, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up together." And look at what he says. "And he made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." You know, I got to be honest with you. If verse 6 wasn't in the Bible, I don't think I would believe it. If you would have just told me that in Christ, I've been exalted and seated in heavenly places, I wouldn't have believed you. Because I have no business being exalted this high. I don't have no business to be seated with Christ. I have no business. I'll be honest with you. If the Bible just said, you know what, in glory you're going to be given a small cabin in the corner of heaven, I would have been okay with that. I'm good with a cabin somewhere in the corner of heaven. That's cool with me. I'm all good with that. But God doesn't tell us that. God tells us that he's raised us up with Christ and he's seated us with Christ in the heavenly places. That's not a cabin, family. That is the most exalted place. Amen. You can be in all of the universe. Do you want to know where Christ is seated? At the right hand of God. And that's where God has raised us up and exalted us in Christ. That right now you are exalted and enthroned with Christ, in Christ, to the very right hand of God. Positionally, officially, at this very moment, you're exalted through the love of Christ to the very throne of God. You know, turn with me to Ephesians 1 verse 3. Paul says this, Ephesians 1 verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." That's the height of the love of Christ. At the cross, he's lifted us up. He's exalted us to the very throne of God. And right now we're seated and enthroned with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the height of the love of Christ. A brother put it this way, and it really spoke to me. He said, "Christ has taken us all the way into the throne room. And he said, you sit here with me. You are mine." That's beautiful. That Christ has led us and has exalted us all the way to the throne of God. You know, I could just picture, you know, when I get to heaven, you know, I'm going to be like, okay, where do I go? You know, I'm going to be seeing like Moses and Abraham and all the four living creatures. It's going to be intimidating. You know, a lot of times we think we're going to be going to heaven. We'll be like, woohoo, I'm in heaven. Yeah. Party time. Yeah, right. Read Revelations. It's going to be terrifying. It's going to be like something you've never experienced. Just think if a sunrise or if a sunset takes your breath away, how much more the glory of God will take your breath away. If you're like all amazed when you see a picture of the Grand Canyon, how are you going to feel when you see the very throne of God? Amen. Man, you're going to be like awestruck. You're going to be paralyzed. And not to even say all the angels and all the loud noises and shouts. You know, the book of Revelation, when it describes heaven, it tells us everything is loud. There's no whispering in heaven. And some of you are like, amen, because I like to talk loud. Well, you're going to like heaven. You know, there's going to be a section for the loud people, you know. But when you get to heaven, it's going to be glorious. It's going to be amazing. And when we get there, I'm sure it's going to be a little frightening, a little bit terrifying. But there, Jesus is going to be standing and waiting for us. And he was going to say, come, you're going to sit here with me. You're enthroned with me. Don't worry, I got your spot. Don't be scared. Don't be intimidated. Don't be shy. Your spot is reserved, and your spot is right here with me, next to the throne, next to my Father. And that's the height of the love of Jesus. Can you imagine we sinners, we filth, we rebellious humanity in Christ are going to be exalted to the very right hand of God, enthroned with Jesus. That's amazing. Amen. That's amazing. Now, some of us, because of what we've done, we don't even deserve to be seated in this nice sanctuary because of our past, because of what we've done, because of the condition of our heart. And yet God says, man, forget the sanctuary. I got a better place for you in my presence in heaven for all of eternity. And that's the height of the love of Jesus Christ, that he can take me, filth, a chief sinner, and he can go and get me out of the gutter, and he can exalt me and lift me to the very throne of God Almighty. And it's the love of Jesus. And this is my prayer for all of us. Just like Paul, as he was in Rome in prison praying for the believers in Ephesus, my prayer is that God would enable us to comprehend what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height of the love of Jesus Christ. That's my prayer. That's what I'm praying. That's what I'm hoping and desiring for my life and your life. That you would know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. That you would understand that Christ's love is so wide that it reaches out to the four corners of the earth. That it's a love so long that it stretches back to eternity past and reaches forward all the way to eternity future. That it's a love so deep that it reaches down all the way to where sinners live. And that it's a love so high that it's able to lift up and exalt a repentant sinner all the way to the very throne of God. That's the love of Christ at the cross of Calvary. And this morning, I end by just saying this. Have you experienced this love? Have you responded to this love? Do you have this love? Do you live for this love? Do you know this love? Will you be protected by this love at judgment day? If you have not already, I would just encourage you, and maybe even someone who might be listening to this CD or watching this video, I would encourage you, bow your heart to Christ, submit to his lordship. He's so ready to fill you with his infinite love. Give your life to Christ if you have not already. Respond to this love. This love is so amazing. It's so great. It's so perfect. You need to experience it. If you have never experienced the love of Christ, he's just waiting, with open arms. And if you have experience, if you're here this morning and you're a believer born again, he's still waiting for you because he wants you to experience more of his love. He wants to take you so much higher, so much to a greater level. And all he's just saying is respond. Respond to my love. Let me fill your heart with my infinite love. Amen. Amen. I want to end with this short poem. And this is what it says. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. The love of Christ, it surpasses all knowledge. God bless everyone this morning, and let's stand and let's pray to dismiss.